When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tēnā koutou katoa e whakarongo mai nā. I o koutou kāinga, I runga I o koutou waka, I whiāke rānei. In this Uiui episode, I went and visited a friend of mine at her whare, and we sat down and had a beautiful kōrero. She is amazing. Her name is Jennifer Ward Leland. She's also known as Te Atamira. She is the New Zealander of the year. Her list of achievements, things that she's been involved with, things that she's done over the years is extensive. She's worked in theatre, in film, in television, music, and radio for over 40 years. And recently, well, as recent as 2008, she has been a student of Te Reo Māori and now a speaker of Te Reo Māori and an advocate for the ongoing revitalization and the normalization of Te Reo Māori, especially in her area. I mentioned her name, Te Atamira. She was gifted this name by Sir Timoti Karetu and the late Professor Te Whare Huia Milroy at a kura reo, and she talks about this in detail. She also talks about a number of other things, about what it means to be Pākehā, learning and speaking Te Reo Māori, what it means to be a New Zealander, learning and speaking Te Reo Māori, and how we can all find and see value in this language that belongs to this place through shared experiences. Anei a māua ko Te Atamira kōrero. Tēnā koe e hoa, kei te pēhea koe I tēnei rā.
Tino pai e hoa, rau e ki te ā koe.
Ai, kua roa te wā.
Anau a te te wā.
Ai.
Pai ki te noho tahi, whakawhiti kōrero tahi.
Ai.
Tāua.
Ko hoki mai ahau ki tō whare ā tāhua.
Ana.
Tēnā koe.
E hia kē ngā wā kua hari mai.
Ai.
Ingā rā o mua.
Ingā rā o mua.
Hmm.
Ai. That's when you and Joe were. We came into my class. And
yes.
Then after that we started having
One on one, which was great. So many months of working together and forming a fast friendship.
Aye, and it's kind of strange not having Joe here.
I know. We sort of fall upon each other when we see each other. We're, you know, kei te moki moki ahau ki taku kui. I'm lonely for my. The reason we call each other kui, of course, is we found some terrible translation in some less than brilliant dictionary that said it was said. Hey, kui, and the translation was "Hey, old lady," and we fell apart. So from then on, we called each other kui.
E kui, e kui. Yeah. And you and Joe, I have this very unique relationship. You committed to each other when you committed to learning Te Reo Māori. Is that right?
Yes. So I started in 2008 at Pukenga, Te Wānanga o Wairaka, Unitech evening class. 2.5 hours a week or 3 hours a week every Monday night, term time. Oh. And Joe came along 2009 and we struck up a great friendship.
Oh.
And then as we kept going, we just, and particularly when we went to Te Wānanga o Aotearoa for the Rūmaki course, an immersion course in 2013, we were the only Pākehā there. And, you know, we already had a long relationship and that even cemented it even more. And we made a decision that year, I think beginning of that year, that we would only talk to each other, email each other, text each other in Te Reo Māori. And you can imagine at the beginning, those conversations were pretty slow with a lot of gaps in them. And then all those 2 years that we were with you at AUT, at Te Arapautama, we'd go on the bus to class and get these heads just whipping round and looking at us, these two sort of whitey ladies, you know, kore roana I te reo Māori. And I met somebody many years later who said to me, oh, I used to love getting on the 120 bus because you and your friend would always speak te reo Māori. And I guess that was, we were always testing each other on whakatauki, on proverbs or kiwaha, on colloquialisms, you know, and it was a great way to, our learning wasn't just in the classroom, it was on the walk to the bus stop, it was on the bus, it was on the walk to AUT and the walk back to the bus. So really, you add in the 2 hours of the class, another hour and a half, twice a week. We had a lot of te reo Māori, so he wānanga anō tērā. It was another lesson on top of it. And just to have someone there who's got your back, koe taku pau whirinaki, you know, we rely on each other. And to have a friend, and that's always my advice to somebody who's learning te reo Māori, is me kimi hoa, find a friend. Find a friend on your level. Whether that's level zero, but somebody who wants it as much as you do and is prepared to be in there for the long run, ka uki te kaupapa, you know, stick at it, because they will, they've got your back.
They're going to hold you accountable.
Yes, hold you accountable, and you can test each other on things, and they'll be, you know, I wouldn't be where I was today without my friend Joe.
How many years has it been? Since that starting first class,
2008 for me, 2009. So what are we now? 11 years.
Yeah, 11 years.
11 years.
So 11 years, you've been speaking only Māori. To each other,
unless we're with a group of Pākehā and it's rude, you know, not to. But our first language to each other is always te reo Māori.
Yeah,
and there's not one communication that isn't in te reo Māori. So I'm nōku te whiwhi. I'm so lucky.
Well, e mihi ana ki a Jo, and I think we'll have to get her on next time. You said you were these two Pākehā women and you'd get some looks. I can imagine. What does Pākehā mean for you and being Pākehā, embracing te reo Māori, speaking te reo Māori?
Yes. I think te reo Māori has been the path for me to get more secure in my own skin in this land, to get more in touch with my Aotearoatanga, my New Zealandness. And I went on this show, R&R, the other day with Precious Clark, and she said something that really resonated with me was, you know, Māori are connected to the whenua by whakapapa and Pākehā through their lived experience. And I thought, yes, that's a brilliant way of summing up of kind of what I've been feeling, that it's not my culture, but it's a culture that is living in this land. And I believe that te reo Māori is intrinsically connected to the natural world, so that there are whakatauki, there are kiwaha, there are sayings, everyday sayings that are connected to the cloud, the land, the sky, the sea. And when we leave Aotearoa and feel that tremendous pull when we come back, anybody flying back to New Zealand feels a real pull as they arrive back here, and it is the land. And so that has been my, te reo has been a brilliant pathway to feeling solid and secure in this land. And I got a sort of taste of that back in, I want to say 2012, I was at a Te Wānanga o Aotearoa course, and I remember somebody talking about the a met the o, and in that word, ao is the world. And the way he was talking about it, I suddenly realised that, and it was almost like an epiphany, I realised the depth and breadth of this language, and it took my breath away. So, you know, te taha a, te taha o, ko te ao tērā. And I realised just, This huge journey I was on, you know, in this incredible maunga o te reo. So, yeah, I feel a more secure person by having started learning te reo Māori. And also, I know more about my Pākehā history by having followed te reo Māori, been on this te reo Māori waka, because one of the first lessons or one of the first things we covered in Te Wānanga o Aotearoa was whakapapa. And I remember saying to my teacher, but karikawaku waka, I don't have a boat. She said, well, how did your people get here? And I went, Yeah. So I went down this incredible rabbit hole of my family history.
Yes.
And ended up doing a road trip right up north to Kaiō, because my family arrived in 1823, so really early up there.
What was the family name?
Called Turner. I reira tonu te huarahi Turner.
Mm-hmm.
So that but the Urupa in Kaiō is where the mission house was.
1823.
Yeah.
So I imagine your ancestors who arrived in 1823 would have learnt te reo Māori.
They spoke te reo Māori. Yeah, absolutely. So that's another thing. I feel like I'm following in the footsteps of my ancestors. And to walk on the land that they lived on and then go over to Hokianga, where they lived in the whare mihingare, in the mission house at Mangunu, was incredibly moving for me. And I never would have gone on that journey without having been on this te reo Māori waka.
Yeah.
So I... You know, it's been, I'm ko whakareri ke katoa taku ao. My world has completely changed.
Yeah.
My world view has completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm I'm probably a bit of a zealot now. I'm like, why aren't all signs in New Zealand, you know, written in Ngā Reo e Rua in two languages and everything? But it's because I feel that there's an opportunity out there for Pākehā.
Yeah.
To connect with their Aotearoatanga, their New Zealandness, without having to borrow another culture that isn't theirs.
Mm.
You know, I was listening to that radio interview with the authors of, I think it's Reimagining Colonization, and the woman, forgive me, I can't remember her name, but talking about people going over to London, say, and the first time they ever do a haka is when they're overseas, because they feel a pull to express their Aotearoatanga, but how? Me pēwhia,
yeah.
And so when I'm talking to big groups of people, I bring up a lot of little sayings that are connected to the land or to a characteristics of people. You know, like I might say, oh, he kano he ho miru miru,
he korokoro tui.
Yeah, he korokoro tui. And I said, we as New Zealanders,
we know those birds.
We know this land. It's our lived experience. Mm. So imagine if those sayings were just everyday sayings in Aotearoa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's possible.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Yeah. So I sort of, you know, group by group, I go around and spread the word.
Spread the good word.
Yeah, spread the good word, because it is a good word, you know. And I think it makes us better people and more empathetic people if we understood the history of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I cannot go to the Waikato anymore without hearing the words of my teacher, Te Kura Taioho, telling me about the extraordinary, thriving economy that was there before Grey came in and cut a sway through that land. The Māori had their own mills, that they had their own ships, that they were feeding Tāmaki Makaurau, that there was success and, as I said, a thriving economy, and how that was cut down. Mm. And from then on you get generations of poverty.
Do you think perhaps that's where the reluctance is with some people to learn, because they're fearful of learning some of those sides of the history when they start learning about te reo Māori and the culture?
Maybe people want to bury their heads in the sand, but I think it can only make for a better society if you actually look at your past. How can you go, you know, isn't it with the tirohonga Māori, you go forward with your ancestors in front of you. Well, if you can look at the history of what happened back then with that in front of you, you won't make it happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is I want to say is that I don't bring any generational trauma to my learning journey. And I have been in so many classes over the years and seen that trauma in action, where either people give up or it's really, really hard and there's so much whakamā around Māori not learning it. I don't bring three generations of my family having the reo whipped out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I can, you know, say, right, I'm going to learn. It's not that it hasn't been a huge challenge. It has.
Mm-hmm.
But that decision is not encumbered by any other taumaha, any other pressures. So I, you know, that's why I want to be the best
Kia ora.
ally I possibly can, and really understand that. And so don't, you know, don't judge people for the difficulty to learn or the reluctance to learn. It's come from a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. Kia ora. Tēnā koe. In doing what you're doing, have you seen going around speaking and spreading the word and then just being who you are in your own work and in your own spaces, have you seen a shift in people's attitude towards te reo?
Hugely. Mm. When I started, so 12 years ago, I was always getting asked, and like by interviewers, etc., why?
Why?
What use is it going to be to you? And I was sort of like, does it have to be a use? Does it have to be a, you know, do you have to put a monetary value on this?
Mm-hmm.
I learned it because it's around me in this country and I was born here and I need to know these things. And I reckon in the last 5 to 6 years, I've seen a massive change in the way people sign off on their emails, in the way people just naturally come into the room and say kia ora, in the fact that so many people are putting Māori translations on their websites, like our Equity website has got you know, all of the listings in te reo Māori as well.
Kia ora.
And theatres, theatre companies, Q Theatre, I think, were one of the first groups.
Right.
And I know you translated the reo Pākehā for all of the signage
throughout the whole building.
Yep. And they've also, what I've also seen is that theatre companies in particular have taken a Māori tikanga framework and built mihi whakatau's into for every company who comes into that building.
Mm.
And it's makes a profound difference to how you go on with your theatre journey or your, you know, your production, how your production is in the building. And Auckland Theatre Company as well. And I would say, and Basement, I would say theatre companies are very good at that. The arts in general are good at that because ritual is in our DNA.
Yeah.
And as I say to people when I go around and give talks, Māori are the, you know, the te mutunga ke mai nei, or the acknowledgement. They're so brilliant at acknowledgement. Even the word tēnā koe says, there you are, there, you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the way that we welcome people into a space is an acknowledgement of everything that we are giving together to make that kaupapa go well.
Yeah.
So I love it that theatres are doing that. And that is just a very natural thing now. It doesn't have the sort of whiff of oh, I suppose we kind of got to do this Māori thing.
That's right.
Not at all.
No.
And I wrote, Joe and I actually wrote a song for Q Theatre that acknowledged the Ngā Tūtohu Whenua, the, you know, the landmarks around that place and why the theatre was built, where it sits, and the hopes and dreams for the people who wanted that building. And the entire staff know that off by heart and sing it, and they know what they're singing.
Yeah.
So can you see what a profound difference that makes to have a whole staff singing to you if you're a new company going in there, saying, this is our place, and we are he whare ringahora. We are, manaakitanga is in our DNA, and welcome people.
Yeah. It's exciting, isn't it?
It is really exciting.
It's exciting.
So I find those things really, really a wonderful thing. I mean, ko huri huri te ao.
Tika, ko huri te ao. And a lot of big groups, institutions are now doing it on their own and reaching out to the right people for guidance, and, which enriches the process and makes it right as well. Yeah.
I've got a building company who've reached out to me to go and give a talk. They want to they want to do more. They don't want to just, you know, talk it for 1 week a year like you. Isn't that a great sign?
That is a great sign.
Yeah, and look how many people have connected to your Māori word a day or Māori phrase a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mīharo.
Yeah, mīharo.
Whakanui, eh? Whakanui.
I want to go back to what you said before. I had a light bulb moment when you said Māori connect to the whenua through whakapapa and non-Māori connect through lived experiences. And one thing that I've been thinking about lately is pepeha and how I do that right in the classroom, because there's a lot of non-Māori in the classroom.
Yeah.
How do you teach pepeha when non-Māori don't connect to the whenua through whakapapa, and pepeha is all about whakapapa?
Yeah, well, I have
what
to
are your
thank,
thoughts?
Yeah, he pate pai tērā. I have to thank Paraone Te Hekatūmā for turning the light bulb on around that. So I come from Wellington, Pōneki.
Mm.
So the beginning of my pepehas, kua pua whe tēne mea I ngā haupūkiri o Pōneki.
Mm.
This thing was blown by the rough winds of Pōneki, ki Tāmaki. So automatically I go, I grew up in that place, man, it's cold and windy, you know. And so I say that, I can feel the wind around me. You know, that's my lived experience.
Kia ora.
And then I might say, te whangan, ko te whanganui atara, te puna marau waka. So the harbour there is a harbour that shelters, it's a very well-known harbour. Mm. I'm not saying it's my moana.
Kia ora.
But I'm acknowledging that here are some landmarks in te whanganui atara. And then I might say, ko matairangi te pai e tū matārana. So the Mount Vic is up there like a sentinel over the city. So I'm acknowledging the mountain. I'm not saying it's mine, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do say, ko te aro te kura, ko te aro te rohe. That's where I live, te aro. And te aro te kura, I have to acknowledge because that was where my two Māori teachers took us kids to Māori Club, ia wiki. So it's important for me to acknowledge my kura.
Mm.
Oh, hika.
He ātāhua tērā.
Yeah.
Mm, being and creative with yeah. the, with
so
the
it's
words
being,
that you're
right.
using.
So you go, what is the feel of the place that you remember in your on your skin and in your feelings of living in that place? Maybe you grew up in a place that had a sulfuric smell or something. Or maybe you grew up in a place where it's ripe with fruit everywhere, you know. So you can find a kiwaha about, you know, that it was fertile land, you know, something like that is your lived experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I would finish off, depending how long I would do my pepeha for, I might talk about my ancestry, where they're from. And then I would say, ko te atamira te ingoa, ko te atamira te wāhi mahi, ko te atamira te wāhi e whakatairanga ahau i te reo Māori. So then I'd say, my name is te atamira. The stage, because that's what it means, te atamira, is where I work. So that says that I'm an actor. Rather than saying, he kiri whakaari ahau, I'm an actor. And then the stage is where I champion te reo Māori. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou.
Tēnā koe.
Yeah, so, and you know, that my, I think the thing with the pepeha journey, because mine was very simple at the beginning too, and I think the more that you, you know, travel along this te reo Māori, huarahi, the more you start finding more nuances, I guess. And like, what are the things that that you are really connected to?
Kia ora.
Yeah.
Mm. Where did your name Te Atamira come from?
Yes. So 2017, I was at a conference called Te Puna o Te Ki. There were Sir Timothy Kāritu and Te Wharehua Milroy and a number of great Māori speakers. So myself and Joe went along, as usual, a little, you know.
Did you present?
Not then. But ātona wā.
Mm.
Tērā taku hia hia. That's Aye. What I want to one day.
Aye.
Yeah. And you, that's there you learn about all sorts of different kaupapa, you know, from everything from breast cancer research to the translation of moana into te reo Māori.
All presented in te reo.
Mm. It was morning tea time and I'm over with my friends and I suddenly hear, Jennifer, aramai. And there are
Jennifer, aramai.
Aramai, yeah. And I went over and they basically said to me, right, we've decided it's time that you had your Māori name. And I went, you know, ka hiki ngā roi mata, started feeling very, and they said, yes, right, te whakaane te atamira, ka pai? I'm like, yes, ka, kua tau, ko te atamira. And like, right, that's it, te atamira. And of course, I felt really unworthy at first. You know, it was an incredible gift, especially from those two.
Mm.
But I see what they did there, hear me.
Mm.
They went, she's going to use the stage for good. And I take that new ko takoto te manuka. They laid down the challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just have this name. It's got so much more to it. So I take that incredibly seriously. That means ko te reo Māori, te reo tuatahi, ko whakahua tia e au. Those are the first words wherever I am on the stage, except when I'm playing a character in a play, of course. But if I'm standing here kai whakataki, an MC, or giving a speech, ko te reo Māori, te reo tuatahi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that it is heard everywhere. And it's normal. So it's an incredible gift. And I still have a wonderful correspondence with Sir Timothy,
Ai
Mera. And I got a chance to thank him in a performance.
In Napier, we went along.
And Ahuriri. And at the end of the show, I was playing Marlene Dietrich. And I normally leave the stage. I'm never Jennifer in that costume. I normally leave the stage. But as a surprise, we'd prepared one of his songs and performed it for him, and I got a chance to thank him in front of a full audience for being such an extraordinary teacher.
Mm. Carrying on with the theme of Te Atamira, your ingoa, how important now is Te Reo Māori in your mahi?
You know, I don't think there's a day that goes by I don't use it. In the last few months, I've been working as an intimacy coordinator, he kairuruku taupiringa, I te taho o the television series Ahikaroa, and that's He Hōtaka Reorua. It's a bilingual television show. And so, you know, every day I was out there, every time I was on set, you know, ka huri ki te reo Māori, ki te reo Pākehā, not everybody could speak, but the kaupapa, the tikanga of that program is te reo Māori.
Mm.
And I found that just, I felt, how lucky am I to be out there working in this tēnei au whakaari and to be able to speak te reo Māori. And I make an effort to do Facebook posts in Ngā Reo e Rua, both languages. Mm-hmm. And just to, you know, just dot it out there in my world.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm as president of the union, Equity, if I'm inviting welcoming overseas guests or people from out of town to some kind of a gathering, then I'll do that, a proper mihi, whakatau, ki rātou, and I make all of the actors learn a waiata so that we actually stand strong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, you know, so I take that sense of pride in what we give to our visitors very strongly. So I think the way that I even start, if I was directing a show, the way I'd have everybody gathered at the beginning, how we run the rehearsals, everything would have much more of a tikanga Māori feel to it.
Kia ora.
Yeah. Mm. So
not just te reo tikanga.
Yeah. Mm. Te reo tikanga. Yeah. Mm. Ka hoa haere.
Ngā mea e rua.
They go along hand in hand. Tika. The tikanga. You can't separate the tikanga from the reo.
Tika.
And I even find it very strange if somebody, a Pākehā, does a speech and nobody sings.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
So all of those things have obviously kind of made their way into me by osmosis over all of these years. And I'm like, who's singing the song? Why isn't somebody responding?
As Pākehā, what parts of te reo, tikanga, the culture, do you leave and say, this is not for me, this is for someone else to come in and teach or to facilitate?
Yep, karanga, mm-hmm. That's not for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
He moko, that's not for me to do. ngā karakia, o mua.
Mm.
So the things that are tapu and he taonga mō ngai Māori anake. So, I know when to, you know, butt out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it should be only Māori women who do tangata whenua, who do karanga and kofo, unless I've been specifically asked and I have got permission. Like somebody said, can you speak because there's no one else speaking te reo Māori? I said, well, I need to make sure that the tangata whenua are okay with that and I have permission from the people. So I would check those things out first. I think those would be the main things.
Yeah.
The deeper parts of te reo Māori. Of te ao Māori.
Of te ao Māori.
Yes. Yeah,
te ao Māori.
Yeah.
Now you're at the stage where you're fluent in te reo Māori. How do you carry on learning when you've done all these courses?
Yeah,
where do you go now?
I say find opportunities to speak.
Kia ora.
That is really my major advice. And so so with Kapa Kōrero that we have, we meet up and we did that over Zoom for a few over lockdown too.
Mm-hmm.
And And it just means like every, and I get rung by reporters quite a lot of the time, so, and might do an interview in Te Reo Māori. So things just come up and you have to be on your game. But I would say, yes, just doing something every day, whether it's reading a book aloud or looking up some words or making a Facebook post in Te Reo Māori, just something to keep your hand in, kei ngaro tō reo, in case your reo gets lost.
Kei waikura.
Yes, waikura rusty. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kei waikura haere.
E kore pea ngaro I te wā poto, engari ka waikura haere.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah. And I suddenly go, oh God, there is that word. I went, oh, Napier, ahuriri, you know. Yeah. And I get a little bit panicky if I think I've lost some words. So, and I have a big pile of kura reo books that I need to go through and actually, you know, knuckle down and do some work on that. And then I think just if you can do a kura reo, a five-day language course, that's a great one. My first one, I was probably semi-hysterical by day three. I hadn't realised, you know, I was only like a few years into it and only been to a class a week. And I seemed to think that I, God, he taonga te kuare. It's a good thing I was ignorant because I thought, oh, yeah, I can go to this five-day thing. And
don't get on too much. You might discourage some of those listeners.
And I have to, but I didn't know that I was surrounded by the creme de la creme of Māori teaching in Aotearoa. And that was a good thing. I didn't know that. Yeah. I probably would have walked out the door.
Mm.
But anyway, but, you know, don't be disheartened, e hoa mā. And just try. Don't. It's very easy to think it in your head and write it down on the page, but the main thing is to speak it, to get it out. You know, mai te mata o te pene ki te mata o te arero. From the tip of the tongue, tip of the pen to the tip of the tongue. That's Te Whari Huia said that. Mm. And that's an important thing to think about. Even if you feel like, oh, this sounds terrible, just try and take off your little judgment hat and give yourself a pat on the back for trying.
Yeah.
Because, and there'll be plenty of people to help you if you ask for it.
Yeah.
You know, engari te he he, I te ha ha, that's what Tanya Papa says, it's better to be wrong than nothing.
Engari te he he, I te ha ha.
Engari te he he, I te ha ha. Isn't that lovely?
Paiake te he, I te ha ha, I te kore.
Yeah.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't have got better without people correcting me. Mm-hmm. And I want to be correcting. Yeah. I say to people, please, if I got that wrong, whakatikaina mai. Correct me, please.
Yeah.
That's how I'll learn and I will never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's okay to not know. My advice is to do something small but beautiful to people. So I hear a lot of people going, now my ki te dada o te tedu no dada, tēnā koutou katoa. Mm-hmm. And I say, how about just saying, let me talk about the word tēnā.
Mm.
Feel the weight of it.
Mm-hmm.
Feel the macron on each word. Tēnā.
Mm-hmm.
It's not tēnā. It's not tēnā.
Mm-hmm.
Tēnā. And can you feel a little dead in T? There. Can you go to say D and then say a T? Tēnā. Now, if I said to you, tēnā koe, hear me? Would you feel noticed and acknowledged? But if I went, oh, tēnā koe.
Mm.
I said, in the word is the acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the little things I try and take out to the general public when I'm talking to them or to groups to say, just to even hold the beauty of that word in their head, tēnā koe, the person will feel seen.
It's I te kupu.
I te kupu, nui te kōrero. Mm. Te katau. They're like, I talk to groups of teachers, groups of doctors. They want to make things more reo friendly, you know, in their practices. And I think that's wonderful.
Mm.
But I even had to teach them how when they welcomed me into the room and there were people still coming, going, there were people eating and everything, I said, so just let me give you a hint for next time. If you have a visitor come in, it's lovely that you stand up and welcome me. That's wonderful. But perhaps everybody else needs to be sat and not talking at the same time.
Kia ora.
And, you know, just little bits of tikanga things that actually put a bit of structure around them for them. And they'll feel better about it.
No.
And I think a lot of it actually is bravery for Pākehā. Because, like I said, acknowledgement is in Māori DNA. To talk face-to-face, the hongi, everything is very direct. You're not afraid of talking out these things. And I think as Pākehā, we sometimes kind of, you know, we're a little bit slippery. We, you know, we're too scared to sort of say something nice to somebody's face, acknowledge them in that big way. So if you can do it in a, perhaps in a small way and feel the weight of the words, of the Māori words in that, it might make you just feel a little bit more connected to that person. So I think there's a chance for great empathy through te reo Māori.
Kia ora. Tēnā koe, ienei kōrero. He kōrero anō au. Hei whakakapi ā tāua kōrero.
Oh, I just want to encourage any of you listening to get aboard the waka reo. You it's the funniest, wittiest, deepest, beautiful, most poetic, gorgeous language I've ever had the privilege of learning. And I can tell you that your place here on this whenua of Aotearoa will feel more solid as you know, where you stand in this land will feel more solid. So to those of you who've started, ka rawe, whakanuia, and I mihi atu ki a koutou katoa. And to those of you toying with it, maybe have a think about who of you, it doesn't have to be someone who is already your friend, just see if there's somebody out there who can be your hoa, tō pōwhirinaki, your post to lean on as you go through this reo journey. And kia kaha tonu tātou katoa.
Kia ora, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe he
mi. E te manu kawe ki o te atamira, tēnā koe iā tāua kōrero. Iā tāua e koniahi nei, e mihi atu ana ki a koe.
Tēnā koe, kia koe anō hoki.